You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's time for our weekly sight loss story feature, where we speak to members of the blind and partially sighted community and find out about their sight loss journey. Today we are speaking to Stefan Crocker, and we'll find out about his sight loss journey. Stefan, before we kind of go on to other topics, including a bit of travel, can you tell me about your sight condition and kind of how you got diagnosed?
I have retinal dystrophy and I have rod cone dystrophy. So basically, the cells in my retina die off and I struggle in the light and the dark. So I'm practically night blind. I was originally diagnosed with astigmatism in my eye, which I lived with this diagnosis for quite a few years. Then one day I decided I wanted to get some laser eye surgery and I was referred to Moorfields in London. They did some very fun experiments, including one which included electrodes attached to your eyelids. And then eventually I was diagnosed with this rare syndrome called Bardet-Biedl syndrome, which is quite a rare genetic condition.
When it comes to then adapting to, you know, life with sight loss, we've spoken to people who have had Bardet-Biedl syndrome and various levels of sight loss, including sight loss that sometimes fluctuates quickly or fluctuates quite slowly. So when you were adapting to life with sight loss, what did you find helped you the most to kind of adapt?
So for a long time, I was a fairly reluctant cane user until someone decided to force me to use it. They said they were basically not going to guide me unless I used it. So I find that my cane is very useful for getting around. But nowadays, I find that technology is the best aid. For instance, especially if I'm out shopping or just if I want to find things around me or where to get from A to B. Or most importantly, just order things such as Ubers or takeaways.
Yes, well, speaking of, well, Ubers and travel methods in general, I mean, I've spoken to many blind and partially sighted people who often find traveling something that they'd love to do more, but they get put off by, so hopefully we can inspire people. I mean, we do have our travel logs feature on RNIB Connect Radio with our resident travel expert, but you are quite the traveller yourself, so give me a bit of a snapshot as to what sort of places you've travelled to.
Travelled quite far, both in England, in Britain, and also across Translatic into America. I strangely find that the most simplest, nearest piece of travel, the bus, seems to be the least accessible. If you then start using things such as trains in England, I find them very accessible because the assistance is very helpful and they also have passenger announcements. So it's quite relaxing to just sit there and they tell you that your next stop is X and then you get off there and then someone meets you to help in your journey. This also applies to underground. The underground is very good in London. And also flying. So I have flown to America, I think, 4 times now on my own. And I find the assistance at the airports is very helpful, and especially on board, they're always very attentive and they make sure that if I need any assistance or any help getting around or most importantly, trying to get into the Mission Impossible task of getting into your food on board is possible.
Yes, the wooden cutlery does produce some fun challenges, bearing in mind my own experiences. Now, when it comes to travelling, you know, your first flight, I imagine, was probably quite stressful. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, the interesting thing is I had quite a big gap between my most recent spot of flying and my original flying many years ago when my sight was potentially better. So I was quite nervous about how everything was going to work. Most importantly, if the assistant was going to be reliable, but it was quite seamless. It was basically I discovered on the plane, to getting onto the plane was kind of like a relay race. So you'd have one member of staff, then they hand you over to another for security, and then you get handed to another for like boarding, and then obviously you have the plane staff once you're on the plane. And then it's kind of sort of like you get one member of staff at the other end when you land to kind of eat through everything.
Are you planning to travel, you know, this year? What sort of travel plans have you got?
Yes, I've got a couple of travel plans coming up. I've got a trip to Germany to see family, which will be the first one in quite a while. I'm hoping to have a second trip to Germany later in the year with another visually impaired BBS person to visit Sight City, which is also in Germany, but in a different part. And then I have got two trips to America, hopefully, one in Washington, and thankfully what might now be classed as my winter sun period of going to New Orleans again, where strangely they have nice weather in November.
They do actually, and it's quite interesting. Now, what I like to ask a lot of people is kind of what sort of travel hacks have you got, especially sight loss related, that help you? What kind of things do you make sure you use to help you with aspects of not only traveling, but also just being abroad in general?
So I make sure that everything is obviously fully charged, all my tech stuff, because that is always important. It either kills boredom or it also means that you're going to be safe at all times. For instance, you can obviously check in so people know where you are, but also you can use it to run things such as blind square. So if you want to do a slight piece of adventuring, even if it means kind of connecting things together, such as Blind Square and then Uber, at least you know exactly where you might want to get to. So it adds the confidence that you're never really going to be in any particular danger because there's always someone who either knows where you are or you can get hold of someone.
If there's one place you'd like to travel to that's on your bucket list that you haven't been to yet, what would it be?
I would say that'd probably be Kentucky in America. And also probably Scandinavia, certain parts of Scandinavia, say Sweden. Sweden's very interesting.
What would be your message to people new to sight loss who, may be quite anxious and who don't know kind of where to start but would love to, adapt to life with sight loss?
Well, I think it starts off with identifying what is causing your sight loss, and then if there is a local support group or if there is a umbrella charity. For instance, in our case, we've got BBS UK in England, in Britain, which is very supportive, and I meet a lot of like-minded people, so I can bounce off ideas if anyone's at their like new stage of their sight loss journey. And so that's kind of the organisational side, but as a confidence-wise. Just basically not presuming that people are going to understand your visual impairment. So you can just ask people to help. Don't be afraid of saying, like, I want to do this, but I don't know how, or I can get this far, but how do I get the rest of the way in the task I'm trying to achieve?
Well, sounds perfect. We wish you the best of luck with your various travel adventures. They sound quite exciting. And thank you very much for sharing your sight loss story with us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you for inviting me.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.